Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this week trend edition of The Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio.
I was holding my breath because I got the hiccups.
You've been holding your breath since the last time we recorded.
Yeah, so thank God I was turning fucking blue.
Oh man!
Oh my God, dude! You're right. It is hard to hold your breath the whole weekend. Oh shit! No, man, the fucking hiccups. I'm trying to stretch my diaphragm out. I get them every now and then, but you know, I'm dealing with it.
Ugh. How you stretch your diaphragm?
I don't know. I was with my friend who's a nurse. I got to stretch my diaphragm, and she kind of just put her hands over her head and just kind of take a deep breath.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's helping. Yeah, because look, they're diaphragmal spasms or whatever.
Diaphragmal spasms.
Spragmums. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So I had a cool weekend.
So cool. So I'm Jack. That is Miles. This is the episode where we tell you some of the things that trended over the weekend, some of the things that are trending on this Monday morning. First, we get to know ourselves a little bit better by telling each other something we think is underrated, overrated. You want to kick off? You want me to kick off?
I'll kick off. Whatever. All right.
Underrated. What's something you think is underrated?
Who did I say last time? Did I say, was Vinny Del Negro a kicker?
No. Vinny Del Negro was a basketball player and coach. I'm trying to think. Of the
Every
black.
Every time I was Vinatieri, I'm Nick Folk now. I'm Nick Folk,
Nick
guys.
Folk.
Kicking
getting
it off.
Getting ready to kick off. He's actually holding his finger up in the air. Everybody's waiting.
Could have had a soccer career, but like a lot of football kickers, you end up being like, you know what? They liked that I kicked the shit out of this weird ball, so I'll do that. Went to my high school, actually. Was it
one
really?
Of those, I feel like kicker is one of those professional sports jobs that you can do high, you know?
Oh,
like
there's no fucking way you cannot do that high. Like you have to. I'm saying
you have
in my
to do
mind,
it.
I'm like, you almost have to be high to right. be like, dude, I don't know. I just kicked the ball. I might get fucking ripped if the play comes my way.
Where the stoner professional athletes go. They're like, this is one that I can just kind of show up pretty hungover, maybe still a little bit drunk and get the job done.
Wait, who am I thinking? Maybe I'm like, doing like Testa Verde, and I'm trying to think of how Del Negro.
Vinatieri, Folk.
Wasn't he someone to do with the Spurs, Vinny Del Negro?
Yeah, Del Negro was with the Spurs.
Yeah, okay.
Appropriately, the black.
I had a wild weekend, and that's why my underrated is Show and Tell.
Okay.
Not because I even have the Geist Child is not close to doing shows or tells quite yet.
Sure.
He's cruising, you know, he's cruising. But I was just thinking about, I was like, just how that shit sticks with you. Like, I was talking with people just about like someone's kid having to do show and tell, and all these fucking memories flashback. Like, I honestly think I'd be like, my first bout of class consciousness came through show and tell. Where, like,
oh, for sure.
You bring a toy or whatever. I brought like a Japanese like manga book. I remember one of the first times, and I was fucking ridiculed
because they're like, "What that's the weird. Fuck?"
Yeah, they're like, "It's got scribbles for words," and I'm like, "Fuck you! This is Dragon Ball, you fucking losers! You're gonna be fucking begging me to hang out with you in 10 years." Anyway, so I just remember like then seeing kids come out with like the wildest fucking toys, like the shit that like you would go to the toy store and be like, "Can I get that?" And your parents are like, "Absolutely fucking not!
Fucking kidding!
What the fuck do you think this is?" No,
they drive in on their show and tell.
Like
one of those motorized cars.
No fucking bullshit. Like some kid had the FAO Schwartz Mercedes fucking you know Power Wheels, brought that shit to school, and I remember being so fucked up about it. But anyway, I still think about how like those impulses. Like I feel like there's still power, like what today is our modern like flex culture on Instagram, because we've lost the schoolroom setting to be like, and this is what I have, and this is why I'm different kind of thing. And now it's like, I got to post it on Instagram because I got to do my own show and tell. This is my new show and tell that I do. And I just it's a powerful force. And I was like reading, I was trying to see like what. Like where did we come up with this
shit? Where'd we go wrong?
This is why I think it's an alien technology, because we can't quite find the origin of show and tell, but it's mostly like a English speaking, like UK, North America, New Zealand, Australia kind of thing. Yeah. And it was like meant to just sort of be able to like bridge the ability of like talking about home stuff and school stuff and like being able to have like poise or whatever.
Share something about that. Yourself.
But it's like, I feel like the new version, their teachers are probably up on this and like, we don't do toys.
Yeah, they don't do toys anymore.
That's what I figured.
I think there's some days where you're like allowed to bring a stuffy from home that you're like really fucked with.
And, diamond encrusted.
Yeah. And I think the real kind of mind fuck of that is like kids realizing that like, other people have the same stuff as them.
Oh, like, you know? Right. Like, their stuff the... be cheating on them. They're like,
yeah, exactly.
You too? With this?
That's Brown Bunny. Why? Wait. Like, it's even crusty. Like,
I call him BB. No.
Yeah.
You fuck. Yeah, that's Brown Bunny. Oh, man. Yeah. So, anyway, I just think it's a force from that we take from childhood into our adulthood that I don't know.
Really remember
just
it that
memories.
Much from my kindergarten. I don't know if my kindergarten skipped it or if I was just oblivious. I was like a real spacey kid. I remember like,
kid.
Everyone was like, we were worried. That's right. But I heard like one of my uncles being like, we were worried about you there for a while, man.
Just like head in the clouds, kind of like
head in the clouds,
just space
off
boy.
Doing my own thing. Like in a movie, nobody else is aware of.
Yeah. Well, you're very cerebral. You're a thinker. So that makes sense that as a child, it translates to like, is that boy all right?
Yeah. All right. My underrated. So it's professional sports, but sportos or like but non sports fans. Like this. Uh-huh. This is just something that I'm like kind of viewing professional sports again as an outsider because of like so you remember on Mad Boosties, our NBA
Jack,
podcast.
When I saw him, like he's back on this chart.
He's back on
your
this chart.
Favorite chart.
I found basically there's a great page of web. It's a radio media markets chart that lists the size of media markets. So this is something that's come up before because like I was marveling at the fact that Jacksonville is the biggest city in Florida. That like fucked me up. I was like, there's
wow,
that doesn't make sense. Like Miami is so much more well known. And the reason is just like a technicality, like cities, you know, have their technical size, and like Miami is, you know, a handful of different counties spread out. So Media Market actually tells you how big like a city actually is, because that's like how many people live around there and identify around that and can be, you know, sold to, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, I know. I wrote like three paragraphs. No, actually more than that about this shit. So it's just a list of the sizes of markets in the United States. So you're basically finding out like how many people actually live around these geographical clusters. And the reason was because like there was a player from Denver who was like, you know, I wish I was in one of the big markets and was more, you know, more people would give us our respect, like, you know, LeBron in LA or Giannis in Milwaukee. And I was like,
Milwaukee
is not a big market.
Right.
Looked it up. It is a much smaller market than Denver. But anyway, also I've never spelled Milwaukee correctly without the spell check.
I love that you spelled it two different ways within three words.
It's so difficult. Oh yeah, the U came before
there
the
you
A.
Go. You corrected it.
But anyways, the other thing that this chart made me realize is that there are these, like, it's a list of, you know, New York, LA, Chicago, all these cities I know, and then there are these little pockets in the top 50 that I really don't have any context for, and it's all based on whether they have a professional sports team in a sport that I pay attention to. Like San Jose, California, if you didn't watch Big Little Lies, you don't know shit about it, but it is a larger city than like Salt Lake City and Milwaukee. But I've spent time in Salt Lake City and Milwaukee just in like professional sporting event B-roll. You know?
You can see the mountain from the venue.
Yeah.
Like I've those seen, establishing like, shots. Yeah.
Yeah. What, like,
also, I've Big Little Lies in Monterey, not San Jose.
It's not. All right. No. Well, yeah. See, my point exactly.
That's for a second, I was like, San Jose is not that glamorous. Yeah. But yeah. There's a lot of tech people there now.
Yeah. Middlesex, New Jersey, Riverside, California.
Know Riverside, dude?
I mean, I'm aware of Riverside.
Didn't I tell you about those t-shirts they used to rock back in the day? It would say homicide, genocide, suicide, Riverside.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was like made by Riverside?
Yeah, that was like some I remember seeing like some hardcore like Riverside people rocking shit like that. It wasn't like a huge thing, but I remember like, all right, Riverside. Yeah. Now
but like Middlesex, New Jersey and Riverside are bigger markets than Cincinnati and Kansas City.
Right.
But like, I know things about Cincinnati and Kansas City's cuisine. Like, I know what they look like from above.
Because of sports, right?
Yeah, just because of sports. Like, Indianapolis is smaller than Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh.
Buffalo is crazy small. But Buffalo is smaller than, like, Monmouth, New Jersey. But truly, like, I don't know. So it's just interesting. Like, now I understand what, like, it just, like, puts, like, some of the pride and, you know, just reason for existing of professional sports into context a little bit.
Right.
I'm not saying these are like accurate snapshots, just because I've seen like people throwing fish around the fish market in Seattle doesn't mean I know Seattle, but I at least like it's in my mind. It's like on the map, you know,
right? Because
in my mind,
it's drawing attention. Because I mean, like, you know, to your point, like, I don't know what the reason there would be national attention on Middlesex unless there's like a gigantic convention, like if the DNC type thing was happening there, maybe something like that, or sports. But otherwise,
would, because there's not venues big enough, because no professional sports.
Just this, oh my god, it's a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
So what are we saying if we're going by like market size? Seattle is still the one that needs more. Well, actually, no, they just don't have a basketball team.
That's really the tragedy there.
Yeah,
the biggest market that I don't like, Nassau, New York, which is basically Long Island,
right,
is like bigger than Baltimore, St. Louis, Tampa, Denver, Pittsburgh, Portland. So they have the Islanders, I think, in NHL. I think that's right, but I don't really fuck with hockey, so I don't know like what their culture is. I just know, like, I know some people from Long Island, but I feel like I know Long Island less than I know Oklahoma City or like San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because I feel like San Antonio has hosted the NBA finals so often.
Right. Or like, I know Staten Island better because of Wu-Tang.
Yeah, yeah.
S-I-N-Y 10304. Like, I got the fucking zip code right here, man.
Like, truly put you on the map.
Yeah. But I guess, like, with New York, like, those kinds of things, too. Like, New York is just seen as just this region, right? There might be New York City, but everyone from the area, like, just sort of is like, yeah, that's our team. So I guess it's kind of like the collective identity, too. But
Yeah, Long Island, I think, fucks with, like, the Mets and the Jets, if I'm not, or maybe it's the Giants. I forget,
what are you, Mets, but, Jets, Islanders, or Yankees, Rangers, Giants kind of thing?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Knicks, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, tell us. Hey, Long Islanders, please help us. We're fucking ignorant. Help me. Help me understand, please.
I didn't realize how big Dallas was either. I thought Dallas was like kind of a small city.
I remember we're both like, bigger than Houston?
It's bigger than Houston. Dallas is the fifth biggest. It goes New York, LA, Chicago. San Francisco is four, which I didn't realize it was that big. And then Dallas right after it. That's fucking crazy.
I guess, again, that might be like a hip-hop bias for me. I'm like, but all the rap, there's so many rappers from Houston.
Yeah, who are all these Dallas people? You know, just the Bush,
Cowboys?
The Bush clan.
Yeah.
All right, Miles, what is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated. Now, how do I? Oh, I guess technically Vanilla Ice is a Dallas rapper. Overrated.
Cool. there you go, Dallas. There you go, guys.
Just, yeah. Overrated is just, I think, thinking. Just trying to embrace trends and doing it at the expense of acknowledging where you are experientially in life, not even age. But I say this because as I approach 40, myself and other millennials I talk to in the sort of same age cohort are like stuck in this space where like we acknowledge, we're like, yo, bro, we're washed. Like we're fucking washed, bro. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know half these motherfuckers that are coming out. I can barely keep up with new music, but like I do my best. And also like, I don't know, like, I'm like the shit kids are wearing. I'm like, that shit looks dumb to me. So like, I've aged out, but at the same time, it's like, but I'm not uncool though. You know what I mean? Like, I still know what's up. It's like, we're trying to have it both ways. It's like, look, we're either washed and we're like fine with it and not even washed, like in a pejorative sense, like that. We're just the, like sort of that mainstream youth culture is for the youth them, you know, and we are now the 40s them. And that's
where we washed out of the league. We washed out of the big league. We're in the minors now, like the catcher in major league. Yeah.
I'm like a veteran to just like, you know, just to encourage on like the next generation of stars to be like, hey, I was there too, man. It was called the aughts, baby. And we were doing it big. but hey, now it's your turn. That was 20 years ago. But anyway, so like we don't like to feel like we're fucking off trend or whatever the fuck you want to, you know, however you want to phrase that. But I notice this specifically every time I go out wearing my phone. I wear my phone on a neck strap now.
Yeah.
Because when I was in Japan, like the last time in December, a lot of people were wearing, I'm like, oh, that kind of has like a swag to it, even though like in
this
my
feels
mind.
Like you're ahead of the curve on this.
Well,
to me.
But here's the thing, right? People pull up, like when I wear it now in LA, they're like, whoa, all right, dad life, got your phone on the neck strap. Okay. Yeah. Like you're doing it functional. And then others are like, you know, that seems like pretty functional to like what my needs are, but also like, I don't want people yelling hashtag dad life at me. So I'm going to pass, you know what I mean? And at first I saw the neck strap as some high school narc shit where I'm like, no, bro, you don't catch me wearing no fucking neck strap on my phone. And I realized it's one of the best things I've done, like in terms of my cell phone purchases after buying a case for it. Is like this neck strap. I won't lose it because it's on a bright orange leash, basically. I can access it whenever I need. Like, I can cook. I can hold the kid. I can summon a recipe and then just fling it back down because it's on a strap. I can free my pockets because, as you know, we're a plumper gang here. And I don't need people knowing the exact model of my cell phone because they can tell from the outline in my pocket. So it's nice to have it out of there. And I was at a birthday party this weekend, and a couple came up to Her Majesty and I, and they were like, hey, so I just want to thank you for your bravery, like with wearing the neck strap in public. Like, we also decided just now as a couple that this is like the move for us. And like, we're like glad we saw like other people our age like using it. And we feel really great about it. And I was like, how come you weren't like embracing it sooner? They're like, well, it looks like some high school narc shit. And, you know, we just weren't quite there. So anyway, sometimes function can be the wave. You know what I mean? And I think. I don't even regret it. I'm just like, yeah, man, this is like, this fucking works. Like, that's why I like it. I don't think like, I'm just like, oh, this is my fucking drip. because that's where you have to sort of reconcile what those values are. And for me, it's the function. And guess what? And sometimes being functional turns out can bring you admirers from all across the age spectrum. Shout out to
I'm just waiting for it to become like a little bit more popular so it doesn't look like I'm copying you so much, you know? So like I need to see like a few more people
I'm telling you. People are every time I
no,
like,
this feels like
I'm
this
wearing
feels
all
like
my
a humble brag
down.
By the way, Miles, this feels like you being like, you know, I'm not chasing trends. I'm kind
I'm
of
not chasing trends. Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you travel to Japan.
Sometimes
you travel to Japan and see the wave before it hits.
See how
the United States.
I was pushing away my own people, my own culture. You know what I mean? And I had to dive in. But I think truly it's a story about how, like, you know, how the cool people will always be cool, I think is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
Really at the
cool
end of the day.
Cool people will always be cool always dorks. Be cool. So yeah. Stop trying.
Stop trying
by yelling dad life at people who you think are on some dad shit and are actually on some Japanese next wave shit.
This ain't no dad shit, bro. This is some Japanese trend wave I'm on, motherfucker. Yeah. Now back up.
Yeah, you're just embarrassing yourself. also, I will report from the functional perspective. My wife got one of these a while back also. She's kind of ahead of the curve on this shit. And
so, look, you're not copying nobody.
I'm having to do the Find My iPhone app like maybe three times a day instead of like seven. That's huge. That's
because you have an extra app?
No, because she has a neck strap, and so I don't have to find her phone for her.
Seven times a day. Got it. I thought you meant
exactly.
Yourself.
All right, my overrated. Let's stay on the phone thing. Picking up. Do you have the thing where like you can now see when someone is leaving a voicemail for
it
you?
It tells you right,
and you can like pick it up in the middle of the voicemail.
Now voicemail. No, I haven't done that. I haven't done that shit since like I was using a landline in like 98.
Yeah. So this is like you can now jump in when someone is leaving a message and interrupt them and basically be like, "Oh, hey, I'm actually here." And it's like waking a sleepwalker while they're asleep. Like there's just like something humiliating about it. Yeah, like cause they go from like, you know, autopilot to like, "Oh shit, there's some
I thought I was gonna fuck anybody.
Hey, wait. And it's like confusing because not everybody knows about this ability.
Yeah.
So I've just made a vow to myself. I'm not doing that shit. Don't pick up a call when someone's in the middle. I'm guessing it happened to you.
And that was.
No, I did it to a couple people and they just their kind of confusion really like fucks the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
It's like you caught someone like stealing or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
or they're
exactly.
I was going to put it back. This is the thing. You're like, what?
Right.
Like, its thing is, I wasn't expecting to speak to a human right now. So this kind of fucked. Yeah. I remember doing that, like, when we had those little tape answering machines back in my day.
Yeah.
With the little micro
what's
tapes.
What's up?
I know. And then you'd be like, yo, hold on. I got to hang up there or else everything's going to be on wax. Like, let me call you right back. Or, like, you had to run over and stop the fucking answering machine to be like, do not record this weird shit I'm about to talk about.
Yes.
Yep. I won't do it.
It's like the opposite of like the answering machine message that like tricks people into thinking you're there.
Yeah.
This is like real pickup mid answering machine.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. So you're breaking the sacred bond of, you know, phone etiquette, I feel like.
Because it's a social finish line. You know what I mean? It's like once I've crossed, I was doing the thing where I was willing to talk to you during the rings.
Yes.
But now that we're there, now that we've crossed the Rubicon into voicemail,
I'm happy to not be talking to you.
Yeah, just let me
there
let
is
it
a
cook.
Relief when somebody's voicemail picks up.
Yeah.
I know not many people like actually call each other anymore, but I'm trying to do more phone calls, actually talk to people. I think there's some benefit to that.
Yeah, so. You have to. You got to.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all pro phone. I'm pro phone.
You got to. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
We're back.
And I mean, I'm seeing some good press for Mike Johnson for the first time.
Hey, Mike. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Old Jesus Jerkoff Eyes actually got something passed in the House.
Yeah.
After weeks of delays, the House actually passed something. And is it help for American people? Well, unfortunately, it's billions of dollars of aid for everyone except Americans. But we could care less about the country struggling. But hey, the status quo going to status quo. And Mike Johnson did his thing. And despite all the Republicans that have turned into Russian propagandists like Marjorie Taylor Greene, those freaks were unable to fully cut off the money hose for Ukraine because they will be receiving around $60 billion.
Wow.
In what I'm pretty sure is lethal aid. Indo-Pacific allies read people that we're hoping will fight China if we need them to when called upon are getting $8 billion. And Israel gets $26 billion, although $9 billion of the $26 billion is going to humanitarian aid in Gaza, which is just such a weird, like, notion where it's like, if you're going to be providing lethal aid to Israel, like, the $9 billion just feels like a fucking weird number that's like art. Like, you could say it, like, you're just saying it out loud to be like, and there's aid for them too,
but
also more lethal munitions for the people to then attack them. And I feel like, you know, you could just do the thing all Palestinians and most of the civilized world are clamoring for, an immediate ceasefire. But hey, just look, we got to feed the machine. And it's just, again, like, to your
just
point,
just got to send money.
Just got to send money, man. And just said we did
indiscriminate
that.
Money hose.
Indiscriminate money hose, just not for social services, just not for things like Medicare for all. There's nothing like real, you know, making college affordable for people, maybe child care service, whatever. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Turn on the money hose and they'll figure it out, you know?
Exactly.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's like that scene in, what is it, UHF, when it's like, you ready to drink from the fire hose? Yeah! Just right. Blow your head off with money. But yeah, to your point about, like, the, you know, the tide's turning for Mike Johnson. There's this op-ed in the Washington Post that was like, you know, we actually got to commend Mike Johnson.
Got to,
like,
give him a chance.
He's a fucking hero, man. He really showed spine. And you're like, what? I mean, I get that the GOP is now just like 300 racists and like Russian propagandists in a trench coat. But right. like doing the normal thing, which is just throwing money away into the military industrial complex fire, like, isn't really a cause for celebration. You know what I mean? Brave. Like,
yeah,
he's still the same fucking guy who decided to go through with a bullshit impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, like drummed up all this xenophobia about the border only to then just be like, actually no border deal. Cause this is all just rhetorical fuckery that I was engaged in.
Yeah.
He's an election denier, but sure. Let's really, yeah. He showed such spine when he denied the results of the election. But yeah, he did a thing John Boehner would have done. So I guess he is redeemed.
Right.
So yeah, turn off your covenant eyes tonight, Mike. And just, this one's on us.
Covenant Eyes, of course, the app that he uses to try and stop himself from jacking off.
Yeah.
And it like sends
and shaming his son, too, I believe.
Yeah, sends his search history to his son and his son's search history. Like, it was specifically highlighting any untoward online activity.
Yeah.
They get reports on one another. That is an actual app.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he's like, you just keep looking at the Merck medical manual online. What's in there? Oh, nothing. Just cool body parts. Just want to learn about.
But yeah, such a low barrier that we're now applauding them for doing the horrifying thing that they've been doing for years.
Yeah. Because, and it's also like an opportunity. Hakeem Jeffries can be like, well, the Democrats had to also come in and save the day. And like, so everybody gets to kind of like pat themselves on the back for just, again, the status quo, which again is just, from what I'm reading, mostly death dollars being handed out.
Yeah, yeah.
But but President Zelensky also thanked Mike Johnson. So he's got that he can hang on to.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put that on a shelf. Try not to jack off to it.
Try
there you go. Put that on your little shelf. All right. There's this article in the New Yorker that I found kind of interesting, clarifying. The spine of it is about that guy. Remember the guy who shot himself into the sky in a rocket to try and prove the earth was flat and died in the process?
Yeah. So, his fucking homebrew rocket. Yeah.
Yes. So the thesis of this article is basically that, you know, when I hear about like QAnon, I'm imagining like a future war, like the Chinese Civil War that killed 20 million people because they believed this cult leader was Jesus's son.
Right.
The things they say they believe are so bizarre that there's kind of this tension in my mind about like, how come they're not like constantly seeing like people run into, you know, like do wild shit with, you know, they're all super well armed and they apparently believe that everyone is part of like this satanic cabal. And
so, I mean, it pops up every now and then, like the one guy who like shot his neighbor because he thought he was a Democrat and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely not the
norm. But for the most part, like the numbers aren't where you might expect them to be.
Right.
And this article is basically saying that when you look at the research on disinformation and like the like false beliefs, like the transparently false beliefs, like people kind of believe it in the way that like Catholics believe the bread is the body of Christ, but like don't actually expect like blood to start running down their mouth when they like,
obviously,
you know,
it's not his body.
Right. Yeah. But they like believe it, but it's not like they believe, you know, like they've done all these experiments with like Democrats and Republicans where like Republicans, like they'll ask them to estimate something that's like politically charged, like the number of deaths in Iraq. And Republicans will generally be like further off than Democrats from reality. But when you start rewarding them with money for accuracy, they actually like they get much more accurate. Like that, the difference kind of almost disappears. Yeah, they knock it off, essentially. Exactly.
All right. Like how about for a couple bucks, you knock this bullshit off? All
right. Right. Yeah. And so, the reason they focus on the flat earth guy is that he was, so his story was actually that he was a daredevil, like a backyard. He idolized Evel Knievel. always wanted to be Evel Knievel. You know, 5 years before his death, he was like trying to fund his like backyard rocket launches, and could only like raise $310 on GoFundMe.
Right.
And then he was like, you know what would be smart is if I said it was all part of like flat earth shit.
And, oh shit.
Like
right.
he was interested vaguely in flat earth stuff. It was like part of, he was like a conspiracy theorist, but
sure.
then he like hooked it up to that and was like, I'll fund my rocket launch so I can like expose the truth about like NASA being a conspiracy. And that's where that all came from. But like, there's lots to indicate that he didn't actually believe the earth was flat. The like, even the story didn't really make sense when you think about it. Like, he didn't appear to be reaching or coming close to the levels of like an airplane, which still doesn't show you the curvature of the earth. So it's like, it didn't really make sense that this guy was like actually trying to do anything with flat earth.
It's more vibes than science, honestly, yeah. with that whole crew.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just interesting. I think it like that. It's something that I come back to a lot as we're, you know, dealing with this, you know, the news is like the stupidity of others seems to be a myth that like both sides want to believe in and sure. want to like simplify the other person's assumptions. And it's easy to do in the abstract and at a distance, but it's generally like less true in the, like there's these two systems of belief that we have. And like, one is like symbolic beliefs and the other is like, I believe there's a chair here that I can actually like, right. sit down on.
All right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people don't believe there's
a chair. From the RNC.
Yeah.
All right. President Obama. Oh boy.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry. Go on.
So I'll link off to the New Yorker article in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
But it's a pretty interesting read that I think is like,
I mean, it does show how like a lot of these people just come to embrace, oh, someone's calling right now. And should I answer them when they go to voicemail?
Mid-voicemail.
Hey, what's up, fool? It's no one I know. It's probably some fucking robot call anyway.
Spam, yeah.
But no, like, it's interesting to see how malleable people are when it's just advantageous for them to have a certain belief set, whether that's to be, like, part of an in-group or to be part of a bigger group, the social setting, or for funding your rocket fuckery.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like convenient for social, like it's they point to this idea that like it's a driver of group identity that like when you have beliefs that are like really strange, like the more unsubstantiated and strange the beliefs, the better, because then it proves like how down you are with the group. So like religions often define their membership on the basis of like really unverifiable or even like unintelligible beliefs and
like
similar
things.
Can you
speak in tongues?
Yes, exactly.
Like, how down are you? Oh, you don't? Okay, well, I see you. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So,
but then when you ask, like when the money's on the line, like they will not.
All right, pretend. I'll knock it off. I can't speak tongues.
Exactly. Like, people just are surprisingly realistic when you put even a small amount of money, like the small amount of money that comes in a, you know, experiment in the humanities,
like $10 or something. Yeah. And even then that feels like a lot.
Yeah. All right. Should we take one more break and come back and hit some more news?
Let's do it. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
We're back.
And this is a headline that you may have seen over the weekend that was not in The Onion. It is Joe Biden doubles down on false claim his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
he was campaigning in Pittsburgh last week and told a story about how his uncle, Bosey, was shot down in Papua New Guinea in World War II. His body was never found because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of Papua New Guinea. Yeah. and of course the official war records concerning his uncle's death feature no reference to cannibalism or even that the plane was shot down. But these are the sorts of like family legends that people start blending with reality as you get older and older.
Right. Here, let's hear from our president, Joe Biden, about the cannibalism that his family was subjected to.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose, Brosey, they called him Bosey.
Oh, boy. Bosey. He's falling asleep.
He's a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. And then
Wow, man. I feel, you know what?
That is.
Democrats, Republicans need to unite over the fact that no matter which candidate is speaking, there will be a backdrop of bored out of their minds people holding signs. They're just like, fuck,
seems
dude.
Like that's the case.
What the fuck is he going? Uncle Benzo, my Bosey was a hell of an athlete.
Tootie, I'm serious, man. She got shot down over the Black Forest.
Oh, man.
And an old lady lured her to her house and baked her into a pie. I'm serious, man.
Exactly, man. She had gams that would make Mussolini cry. What?
Gams? What the fuck are you even talking about?
Cry? Yeah, I remember when this came out too, because at first the headline was like, Joe Biden's out here saying like cannibals ate his uncle, and people like, and then initially without him pushing back, they're like, even the official record from the Department of Defense says that he just wasn't found. Had nothing to do with cannibals. But then I like that he doubled. Joe Biden really had to fucking be like, no,
that's true, swear. Man. I'm not kidding. And I'm not kidding. His favorite thing to do. Say something incredibly stupid and then reiterate over and over that you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. congratulations to him. That's wildly entertaining, but not a ton of energy there. It would seem.
Especially when you have people pushing back too.
On the other side of the presidential election, another low energy loser, Donald Trump. So obviously no cameras allowed in his New York trial. There are the sketch artists.
Yep.
And Donald Trump is not a fan, apparently. He reportedly critiqued the quality of the sketches behind the scenes, which isn't all that surprising considering that one caught him dozing off with his own lawyer, kind of being like, can you fucking wake up?
Yeah, like kicking him. Hey, motherfucker. All right?
And then there's another sketch that I think a lot of, like, I feel like everybody saw this one where he's just looks like a villain from a Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, totally.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like the Grinch's lawyer. You know what I mean? He's wearing a suit. Right. He's like, I'll get you out of this one. Don't worry, man. Fuck
just
these
Whoville
freaks.
Just like a weird, like, shit-eating grin, making eye contact with the sketch artist.
The thing that I love, though, is that, not that I love, this is the fucking part about whenever we, because Trump is just such a fucking just loser with all kinds of weird things going on that, like, it's easy to make fun of kind of thing. Yeah. The other story that kept going out was that he's just farting too a bunch the entire time.
Just heating up the fart box.
Sleeping and farting, man. Just Rip Van Winkle, you know, just ripping them and sleeping them. And then that's what I come away with. I'm like, this fucking guy's going to get away with some other shit that everyone's like, but he's farting, man. And that sucks. I mean, we're farting our way into the apocalypse right now.
Yeah.
But sure. I just like that. There's really no way for them to get around the sleeping thing. Cause he's been sleeping pretty much every time he's in court. And they're like, this is just a vendetta against him that people have.
I can't stay awake. I've had those things though, where, like, I don't know, there are definitely
warm
rooms where you just have to sit still and you just can't stay awake. You know, it's the worst.
That's me in high school, college.
Yes.
I could not for the fucking, if I'm sitting, especially if it's dark.
Yeah.
It happens. Like, I just start fucking dozing off, or just something where you just don't care. Like, clearly it's more a function of how disengaged from the process Donald Trump is. Because in his mind, he's like, I don't know, I just have to sit here while they fucking talk or whatever. And then I'll get out of it. Like I always do. So I'll just fucking go to
sleep. We done here? Yeah.
Yeah.
A Trump rep said that the sources behind the drawings are losers who will try to peddle fantasy as fact because they live miserable existences. He's been real. I'm assuming this Trump rep is speaking on his behalf, and maybe that this was directly authored. This statement was directly authored by him. I have no idea where I'm getting that.
No, Stephen Chung, who from. I think he's smart enough that he knows how to, like, I think he has a job because he has a skill of talking how Trump wants to sound.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's just always like, they're losers and they're just jealous. And he's like, perfect. Exactly. That's why I'm sleeping. Because they're losers and jealous.
But he's very thin skinned about the falling asleep in court.
It's weird. He doesn't take much umbrage with the fart reports.
Yeah, I haven't seen the fart reports. Are we getting those? Has Maggie Haberman kind of backed up reporting on the farts?
Yeah, I mean, let's see. There's always Michael Cohen talking about the smell rumors. But someone says there's no evidence that Trump farted.
Okay.
According to Snopes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
His lawyer might just be incredibly flatulent.
Because Haberman was the one that said he fell asleep.
Yeah. But
and then other people were like, it smells around him. Because the other thing, that is something people say, is that he's odious.
The sticky
odorous.
Man.
Yeah. But how that plays out, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we'll never have a proper camera angle of a loud fart. But either way, he's
sleepy.
As
you get older, you definitely have a little bit less control over your flatulence. So this is not shocking to me that he's a
giant fart bag. Come to my house any holiday. There's, if you want to see old people fart in a grand chorus, it happens every fucking time.
Want to see that, Miles. So
It was a lot for Her Majesty.
Invitation accepted.
Yeah. Hey, come through. They're farting. Right now.
All right. Number one show on Netflix is What Jennifer Did, which is a troubling true crime documentary that is just ahead of, in second place, Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp.
Oh boy.
Which I'm hearing also very dark.
I bet.
You know,
What is it? Are they just mapping like the Ernest films to Woody Woodpecker? Is it like Woody Woodpecker goes to prison?
I know,
next?
Right? Are you allowed to do that?
I don't know. Goes to Camp? Like, that was Ernest.
Woody Woodpecker saves Christmas. It's interesting though. Like, Woody Woodpecker does not have an imprint, I feel like, for this younger generation. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but my kids missed Woody Woodpecker, and Woody Woodpecker a fixture when I was a kid.
Well, then do you remember how like insufferable you'd be doing the Woody Woodpecker laugh as a kid? You're doing it at 20% commitment, man. I need you to be that kid. There you go.
Yeah, man.
And they're like, dude, please shut up. And we're like, no, we're Woody Woodpecker. So maybe bless the kids for not knowing this.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What if we made a character that was intentionally annoying as fuck?
Yeah. And would cause parents around the world to have some kind of breakdown. The things about a woman who like hired a hit person to like kill her parents, right?
Yeah.
Pretty dark.
Hitmen that you can hire are basically not real, FYI, just for any of our listeners out there. That's a cop. If you're trying to hire one, that's a cop.
That's a cop.
Anyways, with certain photos in the documentary are clearly, allegedly, but I mean, we now know the trademarks of AI edited images, and this shit is clearly they just stuck it through an AI filter.
Whatever it was. Yeah.
One of the EPs is admitting they did some photo editing for, I guess, like acceptable reasons to like remove other people and other like details from the picture so that it wasn't clear whose photos were being used.
Right.
But they're not specifically speaking to the AI part.
Which
that's the reason it's the story is because AI is putting people out of work and doing a shitty job.
Exactly. If you wanted to remove someone from a photo or whatever, a person can do that. But when you run it through your thing and then suddenly they have like alien hands where like each hand has like three digits on it. Just everything about it's so funny how these people who are like make these decisions are like, it's fine. No one's going to look at the background, because the second you do, you're like, what the fuck is going on in this room? Like, if you're just looking at her face, maybe sure. You're like, oh, they're smiling.
Yeah.
And like the context is a room, but you start looking at the hands, the nose, like just the inexplicable shit. There's no doorknobs or hit. There's everything's just all bad.
Yeah.
All bad.
There's a shelf full of lotions in the background that is like, appears to be like operating on MC Escher physics. It's just like floating, tilted sideways.
Nothing
just
makes
a mess
sense in the image.
That if you gave this task to a human, they'd have it done in about an hour. It would look great. Yeah. Would not have broken fingers.
There's a whole subreddit that you can go to on Reddit, and you can just be like, hey, can you do this to a picture? And then you can just tip them at the end, and they do it so quick and better than this. But again, dude, I forgot to say, when I was in Japan, I saw this fucking ad on the side of a building that I like, it sort of seemed pretty like innocuous until like I really read into it. It says it's called Dip, Dream, Idea, Passion, Dip.ai. And I was like, oh no. And then the subheader was Labor Force Solution Company.
Oh no.
That is the most
the
grim
final. Yeah.
Labor Force Solution.
Jesus like, Christ.
That's giving Nazi vibes, dude. We don't need solutions to the labor force at all. Like, it might be better pay, but not like we have the thing that will dust them forever.
Yes. Labor Force Cleansing Department.
Whatever it is. But this is just like, dude, AI everywhere. Like, even with the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef, there was like a diss track that came out that was like, it turned out to be AI. There's now AI Tupac on a track that Drake put out. It's just, there's so much, like, it's even unsettling the rap, like, beef game right now.
Can you explain, like, so basically Kendrick, Drake and J. Cole were like, we're part of the big three with Kendrick, like with the Kendrick, three best
yes,
rappers.
Yes.
Like, and they put themselves on the same level as Kendrick. Kendrick came out and just demolished them in a verse.
He had one verse, yeah, one verse.
On a Future song, right?
Yeah, with Metro Boomin. And then Drake, then Kendrick, or then Cole responded, and then he ended up being like, you know what? Actually, I don't want smoke. Because,
yes,
let's be real, that's really not J. Cole's, that's not J. Cole's lane. And he's a great rapper, but like most people know, he's like, he's an honest, sensitive guy. And I think he was like, this isn't really what how I stand as a person. I was really pressured to respond, and it just doesn't feel right for me. He took that track down.
Yeah.
And then everyone fucking flamed him because they're like, wow, bro, really? Like, really, you're getting called out by name and you respond, and then you're like, well, I'm smoke free now, actually.
Yeah.
And then Drake had one leak, and then he finally put out an official track on Friday, and then he put another track out called Taylor Made. And now everyone's like, what's Kendrick going to do? What's Kendrick going to do? And it's, I mean, a lot of people are like, I wonder if, you know, Drake better be careful, because last time he got in a battle, someone was like, hey, what about your secret baby, you failed right? dad? And everyone was like, oh, shit. And everyone was like, he better not be talking about these underage girls, because that's, you know, that my man has a fucking glass jaw for a punchline. But again, a lot of people are like, is someone willing to go there in hip hop when there's already such, like, you know, vile behavior? I don't know. So we're waiting on pins and needles. But in the interim, people are so interested that it's allowing like AI fake tracks to come out. People go like, oh my gosh, shit, it's finally the response.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Just wait for them to release something.
Well, also, did you hear the Taylor Swift song that ethered Kendrick on her new album?
I mean, they were on a track together, you know what I mean? So
the Tortured Poets Department. I mean, who do we think the torture? She's threatening to torture Kendrick Lamar, one of our great American
she's coming
poets.
Out on Drake, on Drizzy's side.
That's right.
No, I did. 1830s was trending all weekend, and I was like, the fuck?
It truly was not like the number one thing trending all weekend on the song I Hate It Here. So she dropped her latest album. I'm sure most people are aware that it is 2 hours long, and the people were talking about a section that said, my friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wished we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s, but without all the racists and getting married off for the highest bid. It's like a definitely a 2016 as like, I don't know, it reminds me of an earlier time, you know what I mean?
Wait, what do you mean? Like this kind of like longing for the antebellum?
Yeah, longing for the
antebellum America.
And just being willing to be like, yeah, but without the racism, like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a very privileged way to... Yeah, because you're looking in this version, you are still a white person.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I make it tenable for my friends who might not be white to say, but without like the racists.
Yes. And okay. In this, she's being married off, so she is an heiress. So
yes. And what's that? What that dowry do, Taylor?
That's right.
Yeah. Please let us know. But yeah, I get like there. It's like no. But like without that, because I remember when people were like, oh man, the '60s would have been cool, man. And I'm like, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, weird. I think because certain people, whatever marginalized group or oppressed group you might be a part of, you think of these times. You're like, I don't know, man. Even now kind of fucking sucks, to be 100% honest here. But I like, again, she did the thing to try and be as diplomatic, which is like, without the racists?
Yeah.
What about slavery? Well.
Right.
Okay, let me get back to you on that. I didn't think that far.
Yeah. There's also the runner up for a thing that was getting flamed the most or, you know, talked about the most was a song called So High School, because it name checks American Pie. People are speculating that this song is about Travis Kelce based on these lyrics. And I don't know where they get this idea that it's Travis Kelce, but the lyrics say, I'm watching American Pie with you on a Saturday night.
No. No, that's not a date.
Your friends are around, so be quiet. I'm trying to stifle my sighs because I feel so high school every time I look at you, but look at you. So she's like, you're so hot, but also you're making me watch American Pie on a Saturday night with your friends.
That's like brilliant comedic writing.
It is.
It's like a tweet that would kill me about everything's going pretty good with my boyfriend, except we do this thing called American Pie Saturday nights where his friends come over and we have to watch American Pie, the 1998 or 99 film. Yeah.
Like, I'm not laughing at her on that one. That shit is funny as
the
hell.
The visual. I'm just like, yo, that's grim. I don't want to be part of that Saturday night.
Yeah. Anyways.
Just the idea of someone who insists on keeping watching American Pie like freaks me out.
Yeah.
Boy.
All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, April 22nd. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourself.
Yep.
Get the vaccine.
Yep. 200
Don't
times.
Do nothing about white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.